Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this 47th episode of Step Into the Light on this Tuesday morning, February 28th. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Are you a mom? Whether you are or whether you are not and know a mom, you will want to listen to this morning's show. In our daily rush to success and satisfaction, society has devalued motherhood. Many moms are drowning in a sea of anxiety, frustration, and insecurity. My guest today, Shimen Shipley Dupler, is the founder and president CEO of Pink Polka Dot Productions and Passions for Mom Ministry. As a well-respected speaker, she loves to encourage others to reach their goals and overcome obstacles to an enriching and rewarding marriage and family life. Shimen graduated from Baylor University with a Bachelor of Science degree in Child and Family Studies. She formerly served on Capitol Hill in the United States Senate and worked with foster homes and residential treatment centers as a social worker. Shimen's soon-to-be-released book, The High Calling of Motherhood, addresses the spiritual and emotional aspects of this esteemed responsibility God has entrusted to women. She encourages moms to step into the light and embrace the rewards of motherhood. She equips readers with tools to make a difference by raising our children to be world changers and restore the value society has stripped away, but God still places on moms. Good morning and welcome to the show, Shimen.
Hi, Patty. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. I'm so excited. I was very blessed to contact your marketing people, and they sent me an advanced copy of your book, The High Calling of Motherhood, and I am very impressed with it. We're going to talk about that during the show. We're going to talk about some of the aspects of motherhood and how it can be a really tough road, but it can be such a rewarding experience. So tell us, Shimen, what was the motivating factor that led you to write The High Calling of Motherhood? I know you have a past experience working with families and so such. So why this particular aspect of the family, did that one resonate with you?
Yeah, well, over the last 25 plus years, I've had the opportunity to work with families in some capacity. Early in my career, I worked primarily with youth, specifically teenagers, mostly in very troubled, coming out of very troubled home lives, so in the foster care system and residential treatment centers. In the last several years, probably about the last 15 plus years, I've had the opportunity to shift my focus and really work more with families, specifically mothers. And so it was really out of this opportunity of having a passion and a heart for the family, knowing that God instituted the family, having a passion for marriage and parenting specifically, that this door opened up. And so it really became a platform to be able to share my heart. Like you mentioned earlier, I began a ministry, Passion for Moms, and even that ministry, our conferences that we host with Passion for Moms, is all about being intentional in our calling to the family, our calling to our marriages and to parenting. And so it was really being able, when the opportunity arose, I took advantage of that and am grateful because it really is a passion that I believe is missing in society today to really embrace God's specific call on the family.
Well, that's wonderful, Shimen. And I'll share with you, I also worked with young people, especially young men. I worked in psychiatric nursing for 40 years. And one of my experiences was at a residential psychiatric child care facility out here in Colorado. And it was with young men. And I know what you mean about many of them coming from very, very troubled homes and troubled situations. And they definitely need our attention, our love, and they need people to reach out to them. So I think this is wonderful what you've done.
Thank you. Thanks.
Shimen, one of the things you mentioned in your book, and social media is just everywhere these days, and you talked about how social media can be a positive thing for moms, getting on there and finding out what to fix for dinner and just how to fix it, or where the best restaurant is to go out for a quiet date with your husband on a Friday night, or best park to take the kids to, and these kind of things. However, there is a definite negative impact of social media on moms. Can you share your feelings on that with us?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, I believe social media definitely has a positive component in society. However, I think with moms specifically, you know, women are very emotional beings that God created. And with those emotions come a lot of insecurities. And I think one of the things that I have found in working with moms is we become very inward focused when we sit at home behind our computer screen, or we're on our mobile devices in the carpool line. And it shifts our perspective from embracing the family that is right in front of our eyes that God's given us to comparison and comparing to what everyone else is doing. And again, you know, we can get some really great ideas from what other people are doing. It can be a source of encouragement. But at the same time, I do think there is a very real battle and struggle that social media plays. And again, I would say specifically women and specifically moms, in breeding insecurity, in breeding comparison, and an overall shift in our focus. And I think one of the negative side effects is that is depression has become a very real battle for many women. Because then we've shifted our focus on self, we've shifted our focus on a dissatisfaction. And so with these distractions, if I'm looking at a computer screen, feeling insecure that I'm not measuring up as a wife, that I don't have the newest latest model of car that you're driving, that you're advertising on your Facebook feed, that my kids aren't as successful as your kids. And then I look and see the carpet stains that I have in my home. Then I become very, then I become very self-focused and insecure with where God has me, as opposed to really walking in confidence in embracing where I am in life. And so, again, I love social media. I use social media. I just think it's a very delicate balance. And if we know that we have a propensity or weakness towards being letting those things become a distraction and feed an insecurity and a comparison, comparison robs us of our joy. And we should be embracing the husband that God gave us, the children that God gave us, and embracing the life that we're living, as opposed to not living life because we're watching life pass us by via a computer screen.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you, Shimin. I'm not a huge social media person. I probably don't spend as much time on it maybe as a lot of other people. I put a post on there once in a while, but as far as scrolling down and reading the news feed, I hardly ever do that. And then people wonder why I never see anything on Facebook. So I need to strike that balance and start getting a little better about staying in touch, I guess. But I absolutely understand what you're talking about. And when you mentioned comparison, I think we as human beings have a propensity to compare ourselves to others in some aspect, whether it be our performance at work or our socioeconomic status or whatever. How do you suggest that we control that drive to compare our kids and our parenting skills with other children and parents?
Yeah, well, it's natural to compare because what we see before us are other human beings. And so it's very natural for me to look at my next door neighbor or the moms at my kids' school. So that's a very natural thing, is we mm-hmm. are comparing to what we see right before our eyes. The interesting thing is that everyone has an opinion, and everyone enjoys sharing unsolicited advice, and whether that's via social media or elsewhere. You know, I remember when our daughters were first born, you're inundated with everyone's opinion, even on what kind of birth you're supposed to have. Should you breastfeed?
Oh, yeah.
Should you bottle feed? You know, all these things, even in the way you give birth, everyone has an opinion. And so I think, again, going back to that feeding comparison and insecurity in our society, is while it's natural to see what's before us and to take in the information that other people are doing, we want to be real careful that we're not crossing a line of, again, comparison breeding insecurity in the decisions that are right for our family. And so, again, being able to walk in that confidence of making decisions with your husband and what's right for you and your family, and then walking in a confidence and a boldness in those decisions. You know, one of the things I address in The High Calling of Motherhood, I believe it was in chapter 5, is understanding who we are in Christ. And when we are, when we have Christ in our lives, we want to walk in that confidence that I am a daughter of the King. And our eyes should really be vertical and not horizontal. And yet we want to keep our eyes horizontal because that's what we physically see before us. Mm-hmm. And yet with God being my authority, it removes that whole comparison platform, because when God is my focus and my eyes are vertically towards Him and not horizontally towards looking at other sinners and other human beings, then it really removes that insecurity. It removes that platform of comparison, because I know who I am in Christ, and I know that I'm a daughter of the King, and I know where I'm going, and so therefore can walk boldly forward and not live a life of comparison.
Well, that's true. That's a wonderful point, Shemin. I have two adult children, and I have lived in this small town. I'm in a very different environment than you, because I know that you're in a fairly metropolitan area, if I'm not mistaken. Aren't you back in the D.C., Virginia area?
Yes.
Yeah, and so I'm in this little tiny town of, like, maybe, I think we have like 2,500 people here, so you probably can't even imagine that. And I've lived here for 40 years, so my kids are grown up. My daughter still lives here in town, but my son is actually over in the U.K., but I will meet people that I haven't seen for quite some time, or that have not seen them, and they will ask me, oh, how are the kids doing? And my daughter has worked for the Department of Corrections for quite a while. And I'll say, oh, you know, she's working over at DOC. And I can't resist putting that little addition in, and she's a lieutenant. You know, it's like, I want people to know, you know, that she is made good. And every time I do that, I almost feel like, you didn't need to say that, you know. I almost kind of chastise myself for, okay, stop the bragging here, you know.
Yeah, it's a natural tendency to want to make ourselves look good in front of other people. I mean, we want to feed that that ego. It's natural.
Yeah. Yeah, and then my son, when my people realize he's overseas, the first thing they think is military, and he's not military at all. He's in works with a video conferencing firm. But I tell people, representative in Europe for this United States based company, you know. So it's like, I gotta let people know that my kids have done good. And there's times when I think, oh, you probably need to downplay that a little bit. Just say, oh, they're doing great, you know. But I think we all do that. So
absolutely, we want to be proud of our kids. That's very 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 natural and understanding. We definitely want to see them succeed.
Well, one of the big struggles that moms deal with is, of course, in this day and age, we have an awful lot more moms out there in the workforce than we did back in like the 19th century and even parts of the 20th century. Now there's an awful lot of moms out there, and they're making their place in the business and professional world, and they're trying to juggle that balance between the responsibilities of work and the quality family time. What kind of thoughts do you have on that, Shemin?
Well, the first thing I would say is it's hard. I mean, I think there's no denying or getting around that. I think, you know, the full-time working moms outside the home that I know are the first to say it is a hard task to juggle. I have very successful full-time working moms outside the home in my life and some of my closest friends. And they will be the first to admit, although they have very high powered positions, it is a emotional struggle daily to navigate how to balance a career, how to balance a relationship with a husband, and how to balance the being intentional and proactively involved in their kids' lives. And so I think the first thing really to recognize is to admit that it's hard. And while many women choose that path, I will never be one to condemn, you know, a choice that is between them and God and their husbands and what's right for their family. I just want to support them and say, I support you, and I recognize and hear the struggle that you're sharing. So I think the one thing that I've really tried to do myself, as well as encourage other women to do, is to be intentional. And because we all have choices to make, we all have the 24 hours in a day. You know, everyone has the same number of hours. And so it really comes down to knowing how to use our time wisely, knowing what choices to make, and then creating boundaries out of those choices. Because, again, if you're going to be working full-time outside the home, then you're going to have to cut maybe some other areas and have boundaries in some other external things that you would do in life. And so, again, it's a hard balance. And many women, especially for all of our single mom friends, you know, they don't then come home and have the support of a husband. And so just knowing how to trust God for that grace, the Word of God tells us that grace has already been apportioned to us. And so to be able to embrace that grace that God can give us and then really have good boundaries and be intentional.
You know, there's a unique set of problems with both sides of it. I worked, like I told you, I worked as a nurse for many years. And of course, nursing, you don't a lot of times get to choose your shift. You don't get to choose to be off on Christmas Day. You don't get to choose to be off on Mother's Day. You don't get to choose to be off when the kids have sports events. So, you know, a lot of things get missed and you have to make up for that in other ways. But then on the other hand, there's the stay at home mom who I so admire. I could never have done that, I don't think. As much as I love my kids, there was a time when the playing the game kind of thing was like, okay, I don't want to do this for 10 hours.
right.
You know, and I have talked to some moms today, some that live in this area, some that live in other states that I've had relationships with for many years, who just talk about, you know, I love my kids, but, you know, this let's play store thing.
Right.
It's real old. I want an adult to talk to. So I think we as moms, and you address this in the book, we kind of have to support each other through this and don't ever downplay the choices that different moms have made, whether it be to be involved in a professional capacity and provide financial support to the family or whether to stay at home. So, and of course, like you said,
right,
single moms, they really have it tough.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, Shimin, in your book, you emphasize that the raising of our children is a spiritual battle. Elaborate on that for us.
Yeah, well, I think, again, it goes back to really what our worldview is. I personally believe that God created the family. You know, back in Genesis, when he created man and woman, he said to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And so the family is something that God created. And we know that when God creates something and calls it good, Satan wants to destroy that. And so what God created and intended for good is something that Satan is out to destroy. So whenever I talk about this in the High Calling of Motherhood, it's really an emphasis on understanding that our primary goal in parenting is reaching our child's heart. And so I think that that's where the comparison game can also be dismissed a little bit in how each home looks, because every home's going to look a little bit different. But if our goal and primary purpose is the same of reaching our child's heart, then we may go about that in different ways. And so one of the things that I emphasize is to, one, first and foremost, we need to understand who we are in Christ, and we need to be able to walk in that confidence of, I understand that I am in a spiritual battle because I need to know and understand why God created me. Why did God create my children? And God created us with the purpose of bringing him glory. God created us with the purpose of knowing him and making him known. And so whenever I understand why I'm created and why my children are created, it gives me a heightened sense of purpose and awareness in how I go about rearing them, because I want them to know their identity in Christ. I want to reach their heart for Jesus as opposed to just training them to be good people. I want them to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And so, again, I think understanding that our kids and specifically society wants to be very negative towards teenagers. Whenever we tell people that we have three teenagers, you know, they make all kinds of comments. And yet,
oh, yeah, the first thing, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And I think teenagers are awesome and amazing, but we did a lot of foundational work in the beginning so that the teenage years are amazing. And so, again, we need to understand that our kids are not the enemy. Our teens are not the enemy. We are in a spiritual battle to help our kids understand their purpose in knowing Christ and making him known. And so I believe that families, again, when you look at marriage between a husband and a wife, that should be a picture of Christ in the church. And so if we take that a step further, when we add kids to the picture, it gives us an opportunity for each of our families to be a picture of the redemptive story of Christ. Because whenever we interact and we have to ask forgiveness and walk in forgiveness and walk in grace and walk in mercy, and that call to obedience, then that is a very tangible picture for our kids and the world to see God's love in sending his son Jesus. And so the family becomes a picture of the redemptive story of Jesus and God's love for us. And so, again, understanding that, yes, we are in a spiritual battle, because if we are trying to share the love of Jesus through our families and be intentional on that, of course, Satan's going to want to destroy that. And you just look in society today, Satan is attacking the family left and right. Satan is destroying marriages, and the breakdown of the family is prevalent in the church and outside the church. And so understanding that we need to fight this battle on our knees, we need to be intentional in prayer, because we are in a real spiritual battle.
Yes, we definitely are, and it sounds like you've come up with some good tools for us to help us fight that, because it is a tough fight, Shemin. Let's take a real quick break here and just make listeners aware. Some of our listeners come into the show late and they're not sure what we're talking about. So I would like to welcome everyone who is listening at this time to Step Into the Light. My guest, my name is Patty Sheen. I'm the host, and my guest today is Shemin Shipley Dupler. We are talking about parenting. She has a wonderful, actually motherhood and more specific, she has a wonderful book that is coming out on May 1st, is entitled The High Calling of Motherhood. This book will be available, like I said, on the 1st of May. Shemin has some, she has some social media outlets, and I'm not going to reel them off here. She is on Twitter and on Facebook. as the founder of Passion for Moms Ministry. She has a link to that website, and she has links on, like I said, on Facebook, and Instagram was the other one. I don't use Instagram, so I forget about that one. But anyway, I'm going to refer listeners to my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. And there you will find a Blog Talk Radio tab on the top of the page. And under that, you will find some pages. One of those pages is website and social media information. And you will find links to all of our guests there. So I encourage you to go and connect with Shemin, and definitely watch for her book in May, which we are going to be talking about a little more as we return to the interview. Shemin, I wanted to mention, like I said at the beginning of the show, I was blessed to receive an advanced copy of the book and was able to read it through. And of course, I was reading it as a grandparent rather than a parent. My kids are grown up and have their own lives. And I just wanted to tell readers that not only is this book great for moms, but it is also wonderful for grandparents, because we still have an influence on our adult kids and on our grandkids, hopefully. So I would highly recommend this book to anyone who, like I said, it's an introduction to the show, not only is a mom, but knows a mom. We may have some ladies out there that aren't moms and that may never be moms, but I have one good friend who has several nieces, and they are her whole life. She doesn't care to have kids of her own, but she just adores her nieces. So, motherhood is something that affects us all in one way or another, whether it be through our neighbors, our church affiliations, or whatever. Shemin, you talk about missional parenting in your book. Can you define that for us?
Sure. Well, whenever I think of the word missional, I obviously think of the word missionary. And when we think of the word missionary, we think to send out. And we talk about this a lot in The High Calling of Motherhood. Whenever I'm referring to missional parenting or intentional parenting, I'm thinking of, we have an opportunity and a God-given authority as parents to be making disciples in our own home. And so often we want to do something extravagant and big for God. We feel like, and again, there is a place for going overseas. There's a place. I'm just wanting us to be thoughtful about that. We do not have to leave our four walls in order to be missional. And so while many people will go overseas, many people have places of ministry that they serve the Lord, it's really important for every single mother to understand that they have a mission field in their own home. And when God says for us to make disciples, I believe when we say first to Jerusalem, then to Judea, then to Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth, I believe our Jerusalem is our home, and home base is where we can raise up disciples. I believe, and we talk about this a whole lot in the book, that we are raising world changers.
I love that term.
Yeah. And if I'm missional and intentional in my approach to reaching my child's heart for Jesus, think about it this way. Look at just consider the exponential impact. If I am intentional with my three daughters of reaching their hearts for Jesus and letting the Holy Spirit have control in their lives and helping make disciples out of them, when they leave home every morning and go into their school and their places of life, as they are out in their community, then they can impact the world for Jesus. And so as I'm being intentional with our family of five, every time we go out, all five of us have a point of impact. And so if we're focusing on first to Jerusalem and being very intentional to use this as our mission ground, the exponential rate of being able to share the gospel and to reach people for Jesus just explodes. And so one of the things that I really believe is that as we are raising up world changers in our homes, then we can change the trajectory of the next generation. We can impact this generation and the next generation simply by being intentional in the home and raising up world changers and disciple makers.
Absolutely. Well, Shaman, as I explained to you before we did the show, the premise of this show is the darkness to light. And like I brought up, I feel that many moms that are sadly living in darkness right now, because as you mentioned with the social media thing, they're depressed, they're frustrated, they just feel like they're kind of fighting this battle all by themselves. And I feel like your book definitely sheds a lot of light on the blessing of and the responsibility of motherhood. But I'm going to ask you too, was there a time maybe when you were writing the book, maybe as in some of your parenting experiences, maybe sometime in your work, when you felt like you were just really in a very dark place, whether it be depression, discouragement, whatever? And if so, how did you find your way back to light?
Yeah, I would say that I wouldn't necessarily classify it as being in a place of darkness, but I would definitely classify it as what I like to coin the phrase is a desert, a place
yes.
of time in the desert. And mm-hmm. And those trials and tribulations. And several years ago, we were in between job transitions as a family, and that lasted quite a bit longer than we anticipated, and it lasted for 3 years. And so I would say that that was a very real and practical time that we had a daily choice to make, and I had a daily choice as a wife and as a mother on my attitude and my approach to facing the day. And while there were very real struggles, I think that it was a time that I had the opportunity to every morning get up and determine how am I going to look at the day. And again, that goes back to it's not about me. And that's one of the things that I really try to hone in on in the book is that when we understand who we are in Christ, then our lives are not about us. And even in the midst of trials and sorrows and frustrations, we have an opportunity to trust that God is sovereign and that God is good and that God is good all the time. And I mm-hmm. don't exist for my own pleasure and I don't exist for my own glory and self-promotion. I exist to point people to Jesus and to make him known. I exist to bring him glory. And I exist to know him and to make him known. And so one of the things I think, especially when we are going through those desert places, is keeping our eyes again on Jesus, keeping that vertical view as opposed to a horizontal view. Because happiness is based on happiness is based on circumstances, whereas joy is a condition of the heart. And so we can be joyful in the midst of the desert experiences. We can be joyful in those trials and places of fear and insecurity. But again, it's really all about pointing our eyes to Jesus and keeping that vertical vertical point of view. And again, it's really important to understand that in any trial and in any desert experience, we can either run from God or we can run to God, and we have a choice. We have a choice every day to run from God or to run to God. And oftentimes I have found that those places of desert experience in retrospect have been some of the sweetest times in my relationship with Jesus, because it's, I have nowhere else to turn. I have nothing else to depend upon except for God. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes an opportunity to run to him and not from him.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you for that, Shaman. Thank you for sharing that with us. Well, I know that one of your passions is the Passion for Moms Conference and Ministry. Would you tell us how that got started and what it entails and when is the next one? And you mentioned that it tied in with your orphanage dream in the book, and I don't know if you want to save that for readers or if you want to share that with us today.
Yeah, well, I think I'll let the readers read that in the book, but okay. I will say though that I do believe that the ministry is a fulfillment of a dream and a burden that God put in my heart over 30 years ago. And so I do see it as a fulfillment of a vision that God gave me 30 years ago, and am excited to be a part of that today. The Passion for Moms conferences are unique. I am not aware of any other ministry with this particular bent in how they do ministry, but we cover the mom as a whole person. And we think of the mom in all of her, you know, running around. Moms do everything. We multitask all day, every day, 24/7. And so while we have a lot of different responsibilities, whether it's marriage, parenting, the health and nutrition of ourselves, our family, finances, et cetera, we want to keep Jesus at the center of everything we do, but we also know that we have these very real responsibilities all day, every day. And so we bring in a variety of speakers covering the mom as a whole person and just offer practical tools for success. How can we be better in the area of finances? How can we do a better job in our marriages? And so this year we have our upcoming conference May 5th and 6th in the Washington, D.C. area on the Northern Virginia side. It's going to be held at McLean Bible Church in the Smith Center there, May 5th and 6th. And we have a fabulous lineup of speakers. We have Bob Goff, who is the author of Love Does, and he will be talking about community and how we can support one another as moms, which you referenced earlier, is an important role for us as moms. We have Kimberly Williams-Paisley. We all know her from her role in Father of the Bride, and she's wife to singer and songwriter Brad Paisley. She's written a new book, Where the Light Gets In, and she's going to be talking about her experience of caring for aging parents, and she took care of her mom with dementia, and she's going to, and that's a real need again for moms as we're dealing with our parents as they're growing older and being able to care for them well. And then we also have Laura Story, who's a singer and songwriter. She has written the song Blessings, and she's going to be talking about her kind of days in darkness and those trials and journeys and caring for her husband who has some things that came along shortly after they got married, and talking about her marriage. And she'll be doing a mini concert as well. And then I will be speaking as well on the high calling of motherhood and being intentional to raise world changers. So again, that's May 5th and 6th, Passion for Moms, the number 4, passionformoms.org. Registration is open, and we would love to have any of your listeners join us that weekend.
Wonderful. I believe I already had that up on my website under that website and social media information for my guests. I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure that I've got that up there for you, Shemin. So, well, that sounds absolutely fantastic. Do you have any idea about how many folks usually attend the conference?
Last year we had around 800, and we're expecting
this year. Oh, my goodness. That is amazing. And do they come from all over the country, or are they pretty local?
They do. They come from all over the country. We already have had multiple registrations come in from a lot of different states around the country. I believe last year we had, 35, 37 different states represented across the United States. So, yes, people come from all over the country. We even had some friends from Canada come in last year. So, yes, it is open to anyone and everyone.
Wow, what a blessing, Shemin. That is just awesome. Oh, my goodness. Well, congratulations. I think that's wonderful that God gave you that idea and you really ran with it. What year was it that you had the first one?
In 2011. So we are hosting, this one will be our 5th conference, and we are just a young 6-year-old ministry. But trusting God, walking in faith and obedience.
Oh, I guess so. Oh, yeah, that is absolutely fantastic. That is wonderful. Well, may God continue to bless that ministry.
Thank you.
I know that for your book, this is how I actually came in contact with you. You're going to be doing a March blog tour for the High Calling of Motherhood. Can you tell us a little bit?
Yeah. I believe,
where we can find the information?
Yeah, and March, every day for the month of March, Ambassador International, my publishing company, has set up a blog tour where every day different bloggers will be able to share about their perspective on the book. And then in April, I will actually be doing a blog tour as well for, so either March or April, people can contact Ambassador International if they're interested in joining that endeavor. But every day of those 2 months, we will be having different people share about the book, share what they liked, and be able to hopefully get moms, and like you said, young moms all the way to grandmothers, excited about really the God-given authority and blessing that He has given us in creating us as mothers, and the eternal impact that we can have in our society, this generation, and generations to come.
Wonderful. Is there a link, Shemin, that folks can go to find out whose blog the different posts are on each day? I'm sure there is, isn't there?
Yes, we will have that available on our Facebook, the Passion for Moms Facebook page. So Passion, the number 4, Moms on Facebook, and we can get people in contact with Ambassador International that way.
Okay. Well, I'll get that link up on the page too, up on my page. I don't think it's there yet, so I just want to make sure and get all the information out that I can, since I referred listeners to that particular area. I want to make sure that all the information that they will want is right there, so they don't have to go hunting for it.
Perfect.
And my
Thank
last
you.
Question is, well, you bet. My last question is, where can readers obtain your book? I realize it won't be available until May 1st. I believe I gave you I put a link up to Amazon. Is that basically the main place where it can be obtained from?
Yeah, Amazon and actually Barnes & Noble both have it available for pre-order. So you can go to either Amazon's website or Barnes & Noble. Both are have it for pre-order. And like you said, it comes out May 1st. So we're hoping that moms and churches and small groups and different mothering groups will be excited about the opportunity to read it and discuss it and share it.
Absolutely. Well, you did a wonderful job with it, Shemin, and I'd like to put a pitch in for the book. And as I told you before we went on air, when I first read your bio, I kind of thought that there would be a lot of heavy psychological language in there, but it's not at all. It is very easy reading. Well, of course, I wanted to read it before the show, so I read it in the space of about 6 or 7 hours, which for me is pretty good because I'm not a fast reader. So, I mean, what I want to emphasize to listeners is that it is the type of book that you can just really absorb very easily, because the language is very clear, and Shemin makes some wonderful, wonderful points about motherhood and about where we stand in society today and what we can do to improve our self-esteem and our responsibilities and our abilities as moms. So congratulations, Shemin. It's a wonderful book.
Thank you so much. And thanks for having me today.
You bet. Do you have any other thoughts you would like to share with the listeners before we say goodbye?
Yeah, I would just close out with, you know, if you're a mom, plan to be a mom, a grandmother, to embrace the calling. It really is a high calling from God. It is a gift directly from the Father heart of God. And so to walk in that in confidence and in boldness, to embrace that authority and to be intentional in raising up world changers. I believe if we can reach the mom, we can reach the family. And if we can reach the family, we can change the world. And so we have an opportunity to impact this generation and the next generation by being intentional and being proactive as opposed to reactive. And so just embrace your role. It is a high calling from God, and to walk in that confidence because we definitely have been given that authority and that right as mothers. And so take it, run with it, and let's raise up some godly world changers that will impact the world for Jesus.
Well, thank you so much, Shemin. You have shared your passion with us. You have shared your heart with us. And I so much appreciate that for your time. And may God bless you in your ministry.
Thank you so much. And thank you again, Patty, for having me.
Well, thank you. To our listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. We will see you next Tuesday, 8 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. Please remember that if you missed any section of this show, or if you'd like to listen to it again, or you'd like to refer it to others, that on my website there is an archive page. Well, this show will actually be up for a week on the featured show of the week page as well, but it is available on archive for far into the future. So please refer other folks to it and enjoy listening to it again. Join us next Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. God bless you all.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit